You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back, joined by one of the bright young stars in the conservative firmament, I believe, Daniel Horowitz. These days, he is a senior editor at Conservative Review, where he authors a column entitled The Conservative Consciousness with Daniel Horowitz. He has served in a variety of capacities in other estimable organizations in the conservative movement, the Madison Project, The Blaze, Breitbart, among them. He is the author of an extraordinarily important and most timely book, Stolen Sovereignty, How to Stop Unelected Judges from Transforming America. Daniel Horowitz, welcome back. It is so good to have you with us.
Great to be with you. And definitely there's a lot of transformation taking place here.
There sure is. I want to talk about the transformation at the FBI. We were just discussing it with Fred Flights a moment ago, but I'd like to get your thoughts on this as well. For starters, we'll get into some of the substantive concerns about Comey, but just talk a bit about process and the histrionics that we're hearing from a lot of quarters about the president exercising what I think basically everybody agrees is within his purview.
No, absolutely. And this is something that's forgotten in our body politic, that the president is the chief executive officer of the executive branch of government. There's no such thing as an autonomous agency or department or office. If you're not part of this Congress and you're not part of the judiciary, well, you're part of the executive branch. So certainly he has that right to fire anyone. And in fact, I think if he made a mistake, the only mistake was the fact that he didn't fire him as well as other people earlier. I think the one weakness here, I certainly support his decision, he should have done this, but the one chink in his armor is the fact that he's really left a lot of Obama people in place, so it's drawn extra attention to the Comey fire in particular. But had he fired the IRS commissioner Koskinen, which he should have done from day one, Richard Cordray of that Dodd-Frank agency, and many other people, I mean, some of the deputies and assistants to secretaries at the Pentagon, James Mattis is the only Trump appointee in the entire Pentagon. That's why it's really drawn extra attention. I think had he come in there from day one and told everyone you're fired, no one would try to drill down to any specific, firing and try to glean some sort of motive from it.
I agree with you that a house cleaning would have been helpful to reduce that problem, but it also would have been helpful to reduce the unbelievable internal difficulties the president has had with people nominally working for him in agency after agency. But one of the things that you've spoken to in your writings about the Comey dismissal was the necessity of having someone do what he didn't do, which is to take seriously and act seriously upon the enemy within problem. I've described it, as Andy McCarthy does, as Sharia supremacism, by which we mean not simply, of course, the violent jihadists, but also the Muslim Brotherhood. Talk a little bit about, you know, why this is such an important item in the agenda as you see it.
Yeah, absolutely. What's very frustrating for some conservatives is that every issue somehow becomes adulterated by this Russia business. Everything's about Russia. Many of us joke around that if we want our important issues to gain some airing in the public, we should just have some sort of Russia connection. And that's the thing. As we look towards a new FBI director and rectifying what was wrong with Comey, it's not just a matter of the fact that he was dishonest on the whole Hillary Clinton email scandal, obviously being caught in the middle of the Trump-Russia investigation. We lose sight of the fact that the main job of the FBI director in this day and age is counter-jihad. It's protecting the homeland. Obviously, local crime is dealt with by local police departments. It's this international terrorism, the domestic homegrown Islamic terror. That is the purview of the FBI. And if you want to talk about the failures of Comey, I mean, that's where it's most glaring, from San Bernardino to Orlando to the Columbus, Ohio State jihadists there. Almost all of these people are what our buddy Patrick Poole calls known wolves. They were known to the FBI and they let them slip through. Why? Because of this politically correct culture of CVE, where they...
Countering violent extremism, right.
Countering violent extremism, where they obfuscate the Islamic source of terrorism, which is really a tactic of a broader goal of Islamic jihad. and say, hey, well, this could be anything. I don't know. Let me close my eyes. I don't know where to look. We don't know where to go in order to investigate.
Willful blindness, as you, among others, have called it. Exactly right.
That is the single most important issue that was lacking, really, with Comey and the entire culture of the FBI, as was the case with the Department of Homeland Security. And that's what we need to look at.
Right. I couldn't agree with you more. Andrew McCabe, the number two to Jim Comey, is now the acting director. My understanding is he is at least as culpable of this kind of willful blindness, or worse, and sort of active enabling of the Muslim Brotherhood types in our own country. Do you have any read on him, and how concerned are you that he's now running the store in Comey's absence?
You know, it's very concerning, and this is really the theme in almost every department where Obama's deputies or assistant secretaries are running the show well into 100 days of this administration. McCabe has ties to Terry McAuliffe. He literally is a Democrat. I mean, at least Comey was allegedly a Republican at some point, had a little bit more respect in conservative circles. So this makes things even worse. And again, putting aside his connections to Hillary and what he did with the investigation of Hillary's email scandal, that's an issue in itself. But there is no way a man like this even understands or is willing to learn the threat doctrine of our enemy, the problems with the Muslim Brotherhood, how they cultivate the climate of homegrown terror at home that has given birth to many of these domestic acts of Islamic terror we've seen over the last few years. So, I mean, he needs to fire him immediately. And again, we should immediately put forth a name that will speak directly to this and has experience in counterterrorism. You know, if Trump wants to get the Russia scandal off the front pages, you know, making the confirmation hearings about domestic Islamic terror is the best way of doing that.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Daniel, as I mentioned, you're the author of a book about judicial tyranny entitled Stolen Sovereignty, How to Stop Unelected Judges from Transforming America. You've been describing a bit of the transformation that's been taking place. Explore with us quickly, if you would, the latest of this judicial tyranny business. We've got the immigration pause, executive orders being stopped. We've got the sanctuary cities order being stopped. We even have corrupt officials of the United States Veterans Administration their firing being interfered with by, you know, judicial imperialists. Give us a read quickly, if you would, Daniel Horowitz, on what all of this entails and what it portends.
You know, as I note in my book, the other two branches of government over the last number of decades has outsourced their powers to the courts, where basically there is nothing a court could do that will elicit a response, and it won't be regarded as the law of the land. So if a court could redefine marriage, redefine human sexuality, control every state redistricting map and election law, well, now they could redefine our borders and sovereignty. And that's what you're seeing now, where you have the specter of the Department of Justice groveling before a circuit court. And let's not forget, the circuit courts are created by Congress, not the Constitution. You know, it certainly don't stand above Congress and the executive branch, but they're groveling before them to please allow us to have a slowdown of immigration from countries with dangerous Islamic terrorists. I mean, it's unbelievable. And you had the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals this week hear oral arguments on the appeal, and you know, any indication seems to show that they will uphold the district court's ruling in so-called blocking Trump's executive order, because the overwhelming majority of them are Obama appointees. So this is a game we will never win. And this is why I've long advocated it's time for Trump to work with Congress to invoke Article 3, Section 2, which gives Congress the power to strip the courts of jurisdiction over varying subject matter, and certainly immigration is a great candidate.
This is a subject to which we will return with you soon, I hope. Daniel Horowitz of Conservative Review, thank you. Next up, Andrew Arthur of the Center for Immigration Studies joins us right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.